This is the Austin Life Church podcast. For more information, please visit us at austinlifechurch.com.
So if you've been around for any length of time here, you've probably seen this. If you look on the Connect card that is on your chair or around your chair, you will see this, and I printed that out so that we have the instruction. We are reaching next month our 5-year anniversary as a church of officially launching, which is, I can see some excitement, which is wild to think about because it feels a lot longer. I think a 2-year pandemic will do that. Also, I mean, just personally, 2018 and 19 were miserable. Like 2020 hits and it's COVID and everybody's like, this is awful. I'm like, man, this is better than last year. It was just a rough year. And so I just see that stretch of like, all right, God. I remember around that time talking to another pastor and he was like, man, I don't know if y'all are going to make it, honestly. And look at us. We're still here. The Lord's still doing something, which is incredible. Yeah, come on, for sure. Thank you, Claire. And so I just thought as we're starting a new year, I think school year, like that's how my brain, I got 4 kids. So I think new year's in September. Yes, January, but I think school years. And so as we're starting a new school year, there's several new faces. I just wanted to tell you who we are and what we are about. And if I'll go ahead and preface now, if this ends up being your church, this is not just who Austin Life is. If this is your church home, this is who you are, right? This is my purpose and my mission as a part of the church. So I just wanted to share that. So if you see on that little worship guide, it should have these exact words that we exist for the glory of God and the good of all people. It is our mission as the followers of Jesus and as the people of Austin Life to help one another live life to the fullest in Jesus, to become a people who love God with their whole lives, love one another as Christ loves us, and leads all people to the fullness of life in Jesus. We will become these people as we continually trust Jesus and devote our lives to the practices of purpose that make us more like him. Right, so that's our big picture vision and mission and strategy. Today, we want to talk about the vision and mission that God has given us as a church. And next week, we want to talk about, okay, how are we going to do this? Now, again, these are things that if we are coming from the scripture, preaching the Bible, and if you're a Christian, this is true for you regardless of where you go as a church. Like this is just what the Bible teaches us. So whether you live in Austin or whether you live in North Carolina or in Dallas or wherever you are, right, this is what the Lord tells us. Okay, this is my purpose. This is my mission as a Christian. And so first and foremost, we exist for the glory of God. We exist for the glory of God and the good of all people. Individually, that is our purpose, and collectively as a church, that's why we are here. I started rereading this. If you don't know yet, I'm a great book starter, terrible book finisher. Anybody else in that boat? Oh my gosh, look at us. I feel so like a part of something right now. Who are the people that are like, once I start a book, I have to finish it? Oh, I feel like we outnumber y'all. That was awesome. That was awesome. Way to go for y'all finishing books. That's great. That's great. So I've probably started this book a handful of times. It's called The New City Catechism. It's a devotional. And it just gives us questions and then biblical answers, right? And so from the New City Catechism, the question that it is asked is, how and why did God create us? And it says that God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who are created by God should live to his glory. How and why did God create us? God created us male and female in his own image to know him, love him, live with him, and glorify him. And it is right that we who are created by God should live to his glory. We believe that the Bible teaches every single person. And so right now, if you're thinking generally, go ahead and bring this on into you. Like, not the person next to you, not other people that make, like, you. I believe the Bible teaches you have been created by God on purpose for a purpose. And that purpose is to reflect his image and to do good to others. That is how we glorify God. That is how we exalt him. The word glory, glorify, it's funny. It's not a word we use a lot, right? Like, but it means to shine the light on, to exalt, to lift up, right? And so you might see like, oh man, media glorifies sex, right? It lifts up, it exalts, it makes everything about sex, right? Or someone might be like, oh, I want to go down in a blaze of glory, right? Like, I want my name to be remembered. I want to have this reputation. And the Bible teaches us that we have been created as human beings by God to glorify him. And Genesis 1:27 tells us that the way we do that is to reflect his image. That God created man in his own image. In the image of him, he created us, male and female. You have been created. Your working purpose, your reason for breathing today is that with every moment of every day, you would reflect his image. You would glorify God with your whole life. That as a student, you would reflect God's image as you go to class and as you work hard, that you would reflect God's image in integrity with your test taking or with those around you, that as an employee, you would reflect God's image with your hard work or with your skill or with the way you treat people around you, with your thoughts, that we would reflect God's thoughts with the way we talk to people, with the way we interact with people. That at every moment of every day, right now, that if people were just to, you know, if there were aliens that were watching us, they would go like, oh, that's more of what God looks like by watching our lives, by listening to the way we talk, by watching how we interact. That is, according to the Bible, whether you believe that or not, I don't know, but according to the Bible, that is why you and I have been created, is to reflect the image of God with our whole lives. That's how we glorify him. So who is this God that we are reflecting? The God of the Bible, this is important, right? Because the word God can mean a number of things, right? We can just throw out the word God, and you could throw it on a list of gods, yeah? So what God are we talking about when we say we're created to reflect the image of God? The God of the Bible is a triune God. If for all of you book starters and finishers, right? Delighting in the Trinity is a fantastic book. If you want to grab that book, write that one down. It's a little short book too. It's doable. But the God of the Bible, this is important for us to understand, is a triune God. And the Bible gives us characteristics of who God is. He's slow to anger. He's patient. He's compassionate. He's loving. But 1 John tells us that God is love. That in the essence of who God is a selfless giving of what is good, kind, and best to another. That's how I would describe love. If you're like, what does the word love mean, right? Because we can use the word love for anything, right? Like, I love a good burger. Put a fried egg on that thing and some bacon, and like, that is, it might be in the new heavens and the new earth, right? I take some good suggestions, by the way, if you have some good, peach tortilla is probably my favorite fancy burger, if you're wondering. And Jew Boy is probably my favorite, like, classic burger. Oh, we got an amen over there. And she's a chef. She knows what she's talking about. So now I got all distracted. I'm thinking about burgers. My goodness. Burgers. Creation, heaven, and earth. Okay. Love. Thank you. I was at love. Thank you so much. I love burgers. But that's a different thing than I love my wife, yeah? I better love my wife differently than I love a burger. Right? Or my kids. I better love my kids differently than I do a bird. Right? The word love, when we talk about biblical love, the God of love is one of selfless giving, of thinking and doing what is kind, good, and best for another. Right? So sometimes we might think like, oh man, I'm not being mean to that person. But if I'm thinking mean, I'm not loving them. Right? If I'm allowing my thoughts of them to be that which is, you know, slanderous or negative, that's not loving of them. That's painting an image of someone that may or may not be true. Right? Loving is always thinking and doing what is kind, good, and best for another. Right? God is love. For all of eternity, God the Father has loved the Son and the Holy Spirit. He's given love to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And for all of eternity, God the Son has given love to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. And for all of eternity, God the Holy Spirit has given love to the Father and to the Son. For all of eternity, God exists as a selflessly loving being, giving what is good, kind, and best to another. This is why the Bible says the presence of God is the fullness of joy. You don't get any better than perfect love and selflessness and compassion and kindness. And this is the God that you and I are created to reflect, to selflessly give love to another. That's how we entered into the picture in the first place. Do you know why we are created? It's not so that we can give God glory. Right? Like, meaning God doesn't need that. God doesn't need our glory. Right? He's just fine by getting glory from himself. It's not, God didn't create us because he was lonely and needed companionship. Right? God didn't create us because his love tank was low and he needed us to pour out love so that his love can be filled up. God didn't need anything from us. If God needs something from us, check this out, he is dependent on us. We are God. Right, if God needs something from you and me, then he is dependent on us. That flips our positioning. No, God created us because God is love and he wanted to share his divine love with male and female. And then he invited us to love him in return and to love one another as he has loved us, thus reflecting the image of God. You and I are created to reflect his image. You and I are created by God to love God and to love one another. That is how we glorify God. By loving him and by doing good to another. That is our purpose. That is your purpose. That's why we are here. That's why we exist. And now we believe the greatest good that we can do for another is to lead people to live in the fullness of Jesus, to trust and follow Jesus with their whole lives. Why? Why Jesus? I had a friend ask me that. Why do you talk about Jesus so much? Like, if Jesus is God, I don't get it. What's the point? So for all of us, instead of living according to our design purpose, we've believed the lie that we can be satisfied by trusting and loving in something else. And we've chased after other things that we think will satisfy, right? We've chased after, you know, money, or we've chased after careers. We've chased after people, right? We've chased after, you know, self-fulfillment, you know, knowing our true self. And we've chased after all these things thinking they will satisfy us, but the Bible tells us that these are broken cisterns, that we pour our lives into pots that have holes in the bottom, and then we wonder, man, why do I always feel empty? Why do I have to keep pouring more out? Why did this not satisfy me? Why did this relationship not give me everything I wanted? I got more money, and yet I still just want more. Because we're not created to find our life in other things. We're created to find our life in the presence of God, in a relationship with God. But we've all walked away from him. That's what Romans 3 tells us. You and I have sinned against God. We have chosen to go our own way. But God is rich in love and mercy and did not leave us to fend for ourselves. If we were expected to make things right on our own, we would be expected to be perfect again with God. And you and I, come on. How many of us are going to live up to that standard? As hard as you might try, we can't measure up. But God, he's loving. He's selflessly giving in love, and he made a way to fix what we broke. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of the grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We believe the best good that we can do for every person is to help them trust and follow Jesus with their lives. Why? Because it's only in Jesus that we have life. Right? We have all gone our own way. We have all sought other things to satisfy us, and they always fall short. Well, that's the tyranny of this world, is we're going to chase after other things that will never satisfy us. But God loved us in such a way that his son Jesus came, and he lived a righteous and perfect life in our place. You are expected to be perfect before God. To live according to your purpose in a relationship with God, guess what? You have to be perfect. You have to stand before him and give him a righteous record, and none of us have. So Jesus came and lived that in our place. But then Jesus also died on the cross. Right? Because it's one thing to say, okay, I'm righteous, but now what do I do with my record of debt and sin that I've already committed? Come on, you and I know perfectly well, man, I've got a mountain of sin against God. I've got a mountain of debt. So what do I do with that? I just sweep that under the rug? You know, God's going to be like, I don't see that pile there. No, Jesus came and he suffered and died in our place so that our sins could be forgiven. But now here's the deal. If Jesus is still dead, wrap it up and let's go home. None of this matters. Right, if Jesus is still dead, how are we offered life today in 2023? Right, like how are we given new life? But the Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead and is present tense, actively right now alive. He's alive, and that makes him able to offer us this exchange. That if we trust him, he will forgive our sins, give us his record of righteousness, and reconcile us back into relationship with God. That if we place our faith in him, not if we're good enough, not if we clean ourselves up enough, not if our church attendance is good enough, we've memorized enough of the Bible, or we're doing all the things, but if we trust Jesus, he will give us his record of righteousness, forgive our sins, and reconcile us back into relationship with God. And now the invitation of the Bible is that the more that we trust and follow the way of Jesus, the closer we get, the more we know him, the more we gain of his abundant and fullness of life. Right? That we will never reach the ceiling of knowing the incredibleness of God. Think about that. For all of eternity, someone asked me in a group text, like, do you think we'll still learn stuff in heaven? And I was like, I think we will. I think we'll continue to learn about how great God is. Because if we reach a place where we've learned everything, well, we've ascended to the mountaintop with God. I think for all of eternity in our brains, like you can't even fathom that, we will know more and more and more the depth and riches of how great God is. But that's not just for heaven. That begins today. Jesus says in John 10 that he came that we would have life and have it abundantly. I don't think he misspoke. I don't think Jesus was like, oh, shoot. Father, what do I do? I kind of put that out there now. Like, do we... No, I think that Jesus actually intends for you and I to thrive in his presence, to have a depth of richness that goes beyond circumstances of this world, to taste and see that he is good. This is how we glorify God, and this is how we do good to others, is we help them live life to the fullest in Jesus. When we were starting the church, we were asked multiple times, like, hey, what would make you not want to keep doing this? You know, it was to help us kind of like lay our vision and not lose, you know, get off course. It's like, what if you were like, you know, 3, 4, 8 years in and you're like, oh man, this is not what we wanted at all. Well, what is that? And I just kept thinking about Mark 7, Jesus having a conversation with the church people, the Pharisees, the very religious, the very devout. Their attendance was stellar. Their scripture memorization puts us to shame, right? They're doing the good things off the charts. And Jesus says to them in Mark 7, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold fast to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. And I thought, gosh, I don't want to be another religious organization that does a great job of elevating our traditions and elevating our preferences, but our hearts are far from God. What a waste. What a miss when abundant life in his presence is offered us. And if we're thinking, I don't know, then we have to say, well, maybe Jesus isn't alive, because if Jesus is alive today, then yeah, that's offered to us. Abundant life in his presence. We were like, we don't want to be another religious organization where people come and they go through a service and they're like, what's next? Let me check the box. Let me do community group and discipleship group. And yet they look up 6 months, a year, 4 years later, and they're like, I'm not really any closer to God. I'm a good person. I'm a good church folk. It's like, that's gross. Like, we want nothing to do. Like, we have no interest in you being good church folk. Like, just none. Jesus didn't care so much about it either. We genuinely, I don't know how to, like, just implore this. Now, we want you to know God like Paul knew God, where he put his full list of all of his worldly accomplishments. He graduated college. He had a job. He was super known in the community. He was powerful. He had money. Like, he was set. And then he met Jesus, and he put his full list of accomplishments, and he said, man, this is all garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Once he tasted and encountered how rich and vibrant and abundant God was, he was like, this is silly. Like, I'll give up all of this if it means knowing Jesus more. I'll give up all. And I thought, man, I want to know Jesus like that. Right? Anybody else? Sounds kind of enticing, appealing. I want to know Jesus like Moses did. Where in Hebrews 11, it says that Moses gave up the treasures of Egypt and considered the reproach, the suffering, the shame of Jesus of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. That's not hyperbole, y'all. Remember Moses' story? He was a child, adopted son of Pharaoh. Literally, all the treasures of Egypt were his. If he wanted money, he had it. If he wanted women, he had it. If he wanted food or drink, he had it. If he wanted experiences, he had it. He literally had everything, and he tasted the goodness of God, and he said, man, even the suffering, the reproach of Jesus is of more value than all the treasures of Egypt. I want to know God that way. Anybody else? Come on, doesn't that sound like, man, there's something here that is more than just church, that is more than just religious tradition. I was like, that's it. It's that or nothing. It's knowing God, or let's go somewhere else. We exist, our purpose is for the glory of God and the good of others. It's to help people live life to the fullest in Jesus, because that is how we know the goodness of God. That's it. That's what we're here for. That's our dream. That's our vision of being a people like that. Which leads us, if that's our dream, it then tells us what we are to do. Right? If our dream is being a place for the glory of God and the good of all people, being a place where people don't just go to church and aren't just good religious church folk, but actually taste and know and experience and live life in the power and presence of the Holy God. If that's the dream we have, then it tells us what our mission is. And our mission is to help one another live that life. Help one another become a people that love God and love others and leads all people to Jesus. That becomes our marching orders. That's why we are here. If you are a Christian, you can be like, all right, great, that's our mission. That is your God-given mission statement. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 is the verse. 2 Corinthians 5, this chapter just inspires and overwhelms and is stunning to me. It says that in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this phrase, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This is why God's God and I'm not, because if I'm God, I am not entrusting humanity with my mission. I'll take care of it myself, right? But God, so that we can be in his image, so that we can reflect him, so that we can know him more, has given us his mission, has entrusted to us. Okay, remember, God doesn't need us. God can do everything he wants without us. No, he gives us his mission. He gives us commands. He gives us ways to follow for our own good so that we can know him more and become like him and enjoy his presence. And he's given us his mission as ambassadors of Jesus to implore others to be reconciled to God. So listen, here's the deal. If you're not a Christian, the invitation for you today from Jesus is to trust him. Is to trust that he will forgive your sins and reconcile you to God and then to follow him with your whole life. Right? Luke 9, 23 through 24. That's Jesus has a crowd of people around him, and he's like, hey, you want to follow me? Great. This is what it means. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Trust me and get in line. Right? If you're here, and this was me for the good chunk of my, up until I was 15, right? I wanted to believe in God, and I also wanted to live my own life. I wanted to go my route. And God said, hey, buddy, you can't do both. Like, you're either trusting and following me, or you're using me as a means to your end, and you're going your own way. To know Jesus is to surrender our whole lives to him. So if you are not a Christian, that's the invitation. It's to have life by trusting him. Now, if you are a Christian, then your identity is as an ambassador of Jesus. That's not optional. That's not like, hey, maybe one day I'll promote to that status. Right? If you are 16 years old and a Christian, then your identity is to be his representative, to reflect him to the world around you. If you're 46 and a Christian, your identity is to be his ambassador. I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I'm just not good at that. That's for someone else. No, that's who we are in Christ. We are his ambassador, making the appeal of reconciliation to those around us. Now, Acts 17 tells us this, that God has placed you where he wants you, when he wants you, so that you can help people around you find God. Listen, you're college students. You are not at the college you're at the time you're at, around the people you're around, with your roommates, with your class. You are there for a reason. And it's not to get a degree, and it's not to get a job. Those are sub-reasons, right? The primary reason you are where you are is because God has placed you there to glorify him and do good to those around you. Right? For those of you that, I'm out of college, I got a job now, great. But the primary reason is not so you can make money or pay bills or whatever. Those are sub-reasons. The primary reason you are where you are is so that you can reflect Jesus to those around you. He has placed people around you that I'll never meet. Right? I'm not going into a classroom at UT. I paid my dues. I'm done with school. Amen, right? But for some of you, you are. And you're going to sit next to someone that God has placed you next to be an ambassador of Jesus for. Right? Nate, I'm never going to work where you work. Right? There's going to be coworkers that you have that I'll never know unless I meet through you. Because God's placed you where he's placed you. Right? I'm not going to live in your house. Right, God's put you in the house next to the neighbors you're around. Like, we have to start to see that God has a purpose for us. That we have jobs and schools and families that with kids that go to certain schools. All of those things are a part to contribute to his mission of all people knowing him. That's why we are here. That's why you're here. That's straight from his word. And we're here to help one another grow in our faith of Jesus. Help one another become like Jesus. Ephesians 4. When Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, it says that he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, right? We are to grow to become like Jesus, from whom the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Listen to this phrase. When each part, if you are a Christian, you are a part of his body. Again, that's not something you grow into. That's not something you one day attain. The moment we trust Christ, we become a part of his body, a part of his family, a member of the body. That is who we are. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If you are a Christian, you have a role in helping the body of Christ grow up. Period. Not one day, not maybe once I've been around a church long enough, not maybe once I'm a member. Like, no, you have a role. The question is, are you doing what God's created you to do or not? Are you helping build up the body or not? Right, if my leg is just like, hey, I'm done, I'm not going to do anything anymore, well, I still have a body, a member. The question is it being helpful to me or is it harming me? It's only helpful when it does what it's designed to do. Ephesians 4 just said that our purpose is to help one another build itself up into the image of Jesus. So again, if you're a Christian, this is not like, oh, I got to find them. No, you are a part of his family. The question is, now are we going to do what God's created us to do, to build one another up? That's why our mission is to help one another live life to the fullest in Jesus. Help one another. Love God, love each other, lead all people to Jesus. So if you're thinking, this is your church home, if this is not your church home, this is what Scripture tells you as a Christian. This is what we're called to do, and then he calls us to come together in church families and to work together for this good, for the glory of God and the good of all people. So if you're just checking things out, you're welcome to come and check things out. If you don't know what you believe yet, come and be a part of this journey with us. Pray and hope that there will always be an open seat at the table here, that we will be a people that welcomes anyone and everyone into friendship, into a place of belonging. But if you're a Christian, then this is your identity and your purpose. To help one another live life to the fullest in Jesus. To become a people who love God, love one another, and leads people to Jesus. That's biblically what we're called to do. And so that's what we're aiming to do as a church. At the end of the day, that's our hope for you. And our hope is that you will help those around you do the same. Next week, we'll talk more about specifics of how we do that. You know, by trusting Christ and then devoting our lives to the practices of purpose, right? Okay, yes, I'm in, now what? That's what we'll do next week. But for today, just pray and hope that the Holy Spirit will speak directly to you of your God-given purpose. And that you will commit, whether it's this church or another church in another town or even another church in Austin, you will commit to helping that church, that body, become more like Jesus and to reach all people in all places with the hope and love of Jesus.
Thanks for tuning in to the Austin Life Church podcast. To help support us, please take a second to rate and review us on iTunes and visit us at austinlifechurch.com.